We open with hymn number 66. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins, To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst suffer thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become man and to come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil, deliver us poor offenders from sin and death, and give us everlasting life. We beseech thee so to rule and govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may seek no other refuge than his word, and thus avoid all offense to which by nature we are inclined, in order that we may always be found among the faithful followers of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday in Advent is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 8th verse. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The voice said, "Cry out," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first through the sixth verse. "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Here ends the epistle lesson. "Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth, stir up thy strength and come. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir up thy strength and come and save us, hallelujah. Gospel for this day is found in the 11th chapter of Matthew, the 2nd through the 10th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 74.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is found in the 11th chapter of Matthew, the 2nd through the 10th verse. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, John began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Here ends our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? What a strange question to be coming from a man who proclaimed the coming of Christ. Had John lost his faith? Did he now doubt that Jesus were the Messiah? Not at all. He asked a question that surely was on the mind of many people in those days. Among them, not only John's disciples, but Jesus' disciples as well. The question is not whether Jesus was the Christ, but whether Jesus was really the one God had promised who would bring both vengeance and judgment against all unrighteousness and the grace of God to poor sinners. One need not question John's faith or think that he had begun to doubt. There is nothing in this exchange that gives us reason to believe that John had begun to waver. After all, he asked Jesus, knowing that Jesus would have the answer to his question. What does that prove except that John was not all-knowing? But he certainly had a question, probably a vexing question, now that John was arrested in prison for preaching the truth and fulfilling his ministry, and soon he would probably face his own death, as we know in fact that he did. Where is the glorious kingdom where all those who so persecute God's people will finally receive their just reward? It is not a dumb question. It is not a doubting question. In fact, the question itself shows great faith in Jesus. John is sure that the coming one must be all that God in the scriptures had foretold. And therefore John is asking, how shall this be so in Jesus? Is there something John missed? It is a good question asked by the one whom Jesus himself declares to be the greatest of all the prophets of old. How is it that Jesus will judge the world? How is it that he will carry out his justice? John himself declared to the Pharisees and Sadducees, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." But where was this judgment? Even when Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers, he did nothing more to them. They did not have to suffer anything but humiliation for their greed and merchandising in the temple. You see, the Bible is very clear, especially in the prophecies, that the Christ would be both Savior and Judge. He would be both sacrifice and King. He would be both humble and glorious. In the Gospels, we see a Savior and a sacrifice. And we see his humiliation, we see our redemption, but we do not see the judgment. How long will God stand back and tolerate the wickedness done in his name? How long will he hold his peace while his church is persecuted and the blood of the martyrs is spilled for the sake of the gospel? For us it seems clear, but it was not so clear for the saints of old. It was not even so clear to John, the last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Even the prophets of old had to study the prophecies that proceeded from their own mouths, because they were but God's mouthpiece, speaking the words which God had given them to speak. But where in the Old Testament do we see it clearly revealed that the Christ would come not just once, but twice? It is there if you look hard enough, for Hosea 6:2 even speaks of the resurrection on the third day. Jonah is a type of the resurrection of Jesus. Daniel tells us that the Messiah would be cut off well before the time of the end. But still, it is left for us to conclude then that Christ must come twice, once in mercy, once in judgment. Imagine how it must have been to read the prophets and see the suffering servant in Isaiah who was put to death for the sins of his people, and also the Son of David whose kingdom would be everlasting. How can both be true? That is the real heart of John's question. Should we look for another? Should we look for another Jesus? Or is Jesus truly everything God promised the Messiah would be? That question still faces you today. Since Jesus ascended into heaven, every generation has sighed, "How long, O Lord? How long will you endure this world of sin?" Turn to the Psalms. You will find that this has been the cry of the church in every age, wondering when God would come, when his anointed would settle all the scores, end the suffering of his people, reward their enemies with his vengeance. Jesus does not directly answer John's question. Every revelation from God has its time, and the time to reveal Jesus' second coming has not yet come. Now it was time for the mercy of God to be revealed. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is the work of Christ at this time. It is the work of Christ in this our day. And it is a necessary and important work, and yet it is a work that offends many. To complete it, Jesus must lay down his life. He must lay down his life even while everyone is still hoping for his kingdom to begin, for his judgment against sin to be carried out. Many would be disappointed. Some, like Peter, would abandon the faith for a time. But blessed are they who are not offended in having Jesus be just such a Christ as this, one who brings the mercy and compassion of God to men by his own suffering and death. This is the Jesus that we need now. This is the answer that Jesus gave to John, and that we also need to hear. Today we could ask a related question and see that perhaps we should not be so quick to hope for the judgment of the world. And so let us turn the question back on ourselves and ask, how long, O Lord, will you endure my sin? How long will you bear with me, who despite every effort to flee temptation, to turn from wickedness, is still mired in it in thought and word and deed? How long will you continue to hold out your compassion and your forgiveness? How is it that in spite of what I am, you continue to open my eyes to see your mercy and my ears to hear your gospel? Day after day, you make me a new man and you kill my old man of sin who always comes back to tempt me again. How long will you bear with such a man as I, O Lord? For you see, the apparent conflict of Jesus as Savior and Jesus as judge is nothing less than the two glorious doctrines of the Bible that must always be distinguished but always be taught. The law of God, which declares what we are and condemns us to the most exacting punishments for our sins, and the sweet gospel, which rescues us from that end and declares that Jesus has taken our place under the wrath of God. Therefore, blessed indeed is the man who looks to Jesus in his humility and does not take offense, but finds in him both the wrath of God against sin and the steadfast love of God for poor sinners. How does this answer the question? Notice that Jesus does not fill in all the blanks. He means to say, let this be enough. Do not be offended if I do not seem to be the great and mighty king, if I do not appear to judge the wicked. Indeed, instead see the fruit of what I do. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Many come to repentance. How many more thousands will there be before the rest of all that Christ must be and do is fulfilled in Jesus? Indeed, how good it is that God has continued the age of grace, the age of mercy, the reign of his church on earth until this our day, so that we also have been privileged to be called his saints, God's holy ones, who indeed will escape the wrath that is to come by faith in his Son. The whole truth of God must be preached, that Jesus is our mighty King and that he is our Savior. John the Baptist was such a faithful preacher of God's word. He preached the coming judgment which God would accomplish through his Son, and he preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins by which men were saved and brought into the kingdom. Did these things make John more than a prophet? All the prophets likewise preached the judgment of God and repentance for the remission of sins. What was it that is so special in John's case? Was it his obscure lifestyle, that he wore camel's hair clothing, his strange diet, his hermit-style living? No, none of these things made John more than a prophet. It was because John is the one who points to Jesus and says, that man, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Of all the prophets, it is John who sends us to that one specific man who has fulfilled all of God's promises, something none of the prophets of old had the privilege to do, though they all earnestly looked for that day. Some wonder how it is that Jesus could point to John as such a great prophet when he himself is the greatest prophet of all. But the answer is right there in Jesus' words. John was great because he pointed to the one who was greater than him, to Jesus. And furthermore, in the verses following our text, Jesus declares that the least in the kingdom of heaven is even greater than John. And why should this be? Because after John, down through the ages, as generation after generation are baptized, they both know that name of salvation, Jesus Christ, and they believe on that very Lamb of God, sight unseen. What is it then that makes anyone great? It is Christ, and Christ alone. And so we need not be concerned if we do not yet understand all the end times prophecies, if we cannot always decipher the imagery in Daniel or Ezekiel or Revelation. All these things will be revealed in their time. For now we have everything we need in Jesus. He heals your blindness and deafness by causing you to know your sin and to repent of it. He preached the gospel to you because you are poor in spirit. And by this wondrous news, he cleanses you from the leprosy of sin and he raises you up from the dead. Day by day, he renews you by this same gospel. He continues to forgive your sins so that you might walk in his commandments with joy and gladness, and love one another as he has loved you. And the day will surely come, just as he said, when he will bring an end to the sin in this world and judge all men. For them it will be a day of wrath, but for you it shall be a glorious day. For then you shall see with your own eyes the coming one, who is both the Lamb of God who takes away your sin, and the glorious and eternal King with whom you shall reign forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, thou shepherd of Israel, who didst lead Israel like a flock, nourishing and sustaining thy people in the hope of deliverance by the word of thy prophets, who in the fullness of time did raise up a horn of salvation in the house of David, even thy Son Jesus Christ, grant unto us such a vivid faith in thy promises that we may rejoice and give thanks evermore. Now, O Father, we bring thee our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. As we have need, send deliverance to renew us in body and soul. Forgive our sins and blot out all our iniquities. Open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Those who walk uncertainly, guide them in the paths of righteousness. Those who are impure in thought, word, or deed, cleanse by thy Spirit. Those who are deaf to thy Spirit, open their ears to thy truth, that hearing they may believe and be saved, and those who are dead in spirit quicken by thy mighty power. Let thy Holy Spirit descend upon us, that our faith may be preserved until our Lord will come again to judge all mankind. We pray for thy church everywhere in the world. Grant thy blessing to all thy servants who proclaim thy word to the multitudes. Give aid and strength to all missionaries, and accompany thy word with power, that all may know thee to be the only true God and Savior of men. Rule over the hearts of all men. Guide the decisions of those in authority, and sit in the secret councils of nations to the end that peace and justice may prevail. Help all men to know and believe the doctrines of Christ Jesus, whom thou hast sent, that they may learn to please thee in true faith. Bless all who are gathered this day in the fellowship of the Spirit, especially those here in this place. Be with those of our number who are sick or under any affliction of mind, body, or spirit. Comfort them, that they may, through their trials, learn of thy gracious power and readiness to help in every time of need. Endow us all with grace, that we may daily show forth the light of thy name and the glorious gospel of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. All these things and whatever else we need, we beseech of thee in his name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn number 69. Thank you. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church thy Holy Spirit and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word as becomes it may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.